time in your presence. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness towards us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your ever-abiding love and compassion and mercy, Lord, that you have never withheld anything good from us, Lord. Father, that your ways are truly the ways of life, Lord. We embrace it and we are satisfied, Lord. Our souls, they find rest in you, in your Son, in his work, in what he has done, Lord. We don't receive truth from what we see. We don't receive truth from what our senses communicate to us. We don't receive truth from what the world shows us or tells us, Lord. But we receive truth from the Son, the one who is our life, Lord. We glory in him. We come in his name. We sing a song to bless his name. And we find rest. Peace comes. Peace comes and guards our soul. And we are delivered and set free from the torment, from the afflictions that confront and afflict many. Thank you, Father, that you have made a way. And you watch over your word. You said that you will bring it to pass and it will not fail. And no one shall be able to pluck us out of the hands of our Father. Nothing. Nothing. This is our boast, Lord. This is that in which we glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. You are here to show us, to teach us, to cause us to be established in the path called life. We thank you, Father, and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Beautiful. Sorry for that mishap. Let me clear this thing out of my way. And we're going to have a great time in his presence. Faithful is he who calleth. And he shall do it. Oh, great. Okay, I'm back. All right. Today, We are going to, the topic for today is attempt to have great gain. Everybody say with me, attempt to have great gain.
Attempt to have great gain.
Attempt to have great gain.
To have great gain.
Say, I'm going to have great gain.
I'm going to have great gain.
Great gain belongs to me.
Great gain belongs to me.
And it's my heritage.
It's my heritage.
And it belongs to my household.
It belongs to my household.
And my bloodline. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
All right, let's do the scripture, please. 1 Timothy chapter 6, from verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. From verse 6. Beautiful. I'm going to read from verse 6 all the way to verse 12. And pay attention as we read the scriptures. Okay, good. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Then it goes on. Let's proceed. Can we all read this together? Ready? Go. For we brought nothing to this world. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. Let's read again. For we brought nothing to this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Let's read it one last time. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Let's proceed. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. It says that we brought nothing into this world. And it's certain. It's not in doubt. There's no question about that. It is truth. That we will take nothing out. No matter how much you live for your children, they will also take nothing out. No matter how much we acquire to our name, no matter how much glory or how much fame and influence that we acquire, we will take nothing out. We will not take the fame with us. We will not take the fame with us. Look at George Washington. Look at all these mighty men that God used to bring justice and righteousness into the earth. How many times are their names mentioned? Yeah. You will take nothing out. You will take nothing out. No matter what you accomplish, you will take nothing out. That is why you really have to now begin to determine that I will live for him, the one with whom we have to do. So the next thing then becomes, the next obvious thing, if you brought nothing in and you can take nothing out, then the next obvious inference is, therefore, or having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Let us be there with content. It's an instruction. It's the Spirit speaking to us. Having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let's proceed. Next verse says that, but they that will be rich, or they that desire to be rich, or they that will enter into the category called rich, they that will be rich, they fall, not may fall, not will fall. I mean, not could possibly fall. No. They fall into temptation. They fall into temptation and they fall into a snare. Can you see why sometimes the Lord will delay something that you think will really, really, really make you happy, as in riches, something that will give you influence, something that will make people kowtow to you, something that will bring, as it were, fame, as it were, glory. Because we are not designed to be able to carry authority unless the Son carries it for us. Nobody is able to do it. Nobody is. That's why you should be very careful when you speak against authorities. You should be careful. You should be very careful when you speak against authorities, because it is a very tricky situation to be in. Look at what happened to Moses. He was given so much authority. When he missed it, he said, it's okay. It's over. It's over. It's over. But Aaron didn't have that kind of authority. But even though he at his hands, an idol was formed, it's as if nothing happened. I mean, you will wonder, because the one to whom authority is given carries a greater burden and the judgment. That's what Bible says, that to whom much is given, much. That's why we must pray for those who are in authority. I heard Pastor Franklin asking in North Carolina, Billy Graham's son, asking that we should pray for Putin so that God will touch his heart, that he forestalls all the things that he is wanting to. And some people were angry that he's asking that we pray for Putin. You don't understand. Because all it takes is for God to just do something and all the fuss is brought to an end. Are you with me? Anyway, that was just by the way. Guys, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, very good. But it says, they that will be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hateful lusts. Just because you have entered into the category where you are called rich, there is much to your name. You are no longer a man or a woman of straw. No. When you pass by, people are forced to acknowledge you because you are not a man of straw. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Your degree makes you put into that category. Your home, your house, your car, your this. They have taken you from the category called a person of straw to a man who must be acknowledged. Does that make sense? And immediately you fall into a temptation and you fall into a snare and into many foolish and hateful lusts. Many foolish, and that's why it should be even those Hollywood stars, they have just fallen into the temptation and the snare just because they have become rich. And into many foolish, that's why they embark on foolish pursuits and hurtful lust. They lust and it brings a curse, torment to them and to their household. It says that it drowns men in destruction and perdition. Next verse. And it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all, not some. The love for riches is the root of all evil. You know, as I was thinking about it, I believe the Lord gave me an understanding a bit into something, into this thing. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, meaning that while some yearned for it, they have erred from the faith. All they did was to yearn for the money. You know, now don't forget, money is power. It's true. Money brings influence. People who don't respect you, the moment you begin to have money, they automatically begin to respect you. Automatically, they are forced to acknowledge you. Why? Because money does that. It brings power. And the Bible says that those who yearn for the money and for the power that comes with it, those who covet, those who yearn for it, they err. You err automatically. If you yearn from it, you err from the faith. Because it's this or that. You err from the faith. And pierce themselves through with many sorrows. They pierce themselves through with many sorrows. I'm going to explain these scriptures a little bit as we go forth. Then it says, next verse, But thou, O man of God, but thou, O child of God, but thou, O daughter of the king, but thou, O son of the living one, of the true one, but thou, O daughter, O son, but thou, O the one who is called of God and blessed of God and brought into covenant with God. But thou, it says, flee these things. Don't condone it. Don't allow yourself to be drawn into it because it is coming for you. The yearning and the longing for appreciation, for acknowledgement, for influence, for respect is there. See, all I want is money. No, it's not just money. You want influence, you want power, you want respect, you want to be acknowledged. It says, but thou, O man of God, O daughter, O son, flee these things, run away from it, and follow after righteousness, which is only found in Christ. Then says, follow after godliness, it's found only in Christ. Follow after faith. That was that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word concerning the Christ. So how does faith come? What's the source of it? The more you hear about the Christ, the more your faith goes. So it's all about Christ. Righteousness by Christ. Godliness by Christ. Faith by Christ. Love. He is love. Christ. Patience. Is that going to be patient? How many of you have purpose to be patient? Have purpose to be patient? And then you said that, oh, I'll be patient with this person. But when the person comes and starts talking, no, the patience flies through the window. Just fly through the window. Your patience flies through the window. Is it true or false? Yeah. You say, why is that? It's because it's not found in you. It's not found in you. It's not found in you. Yeah. It's not found in you. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. Follow after faith. Follow after love. Follow after patience. follow after meekness. Yeah. 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 Are you with me? Yeah. Yeah. Next verse. Then it says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Next verse.
Rev, your video is awful.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I sent you a chat.
Oh, okay. My video is off. Ah, really? It's supposed to be on. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Chris, fix it, please. Fix. My video is supposed to be on, but it's not spotlighted.
Spotlighted, Pastor.
It's not put me in the spot so that I can see I can come on.
Oh, I can the video, you have to turn it.
It's on already. My video is on. Can you see me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's my video not on? Spotlight me, that's what I mean. Can you spotlight me?
It says the video is off when you go to chat. It says the co-host's video is off. And I don't know, the co-host, I think it's T-Rev. You have to turn your video on.
It's on. That's my problem.
Oh, really?
Do I have to stop video? If I stop video, then I'll go off. See, now I'm gone off. I'm off, right?
Okay.
Yeah, now let me turn it on. So now I'm on. Yeah, so Chris, I don't know if there's any way to spotlight me so that I can at least. Okay. Okay, very good. Let's proceed. Unless we need to back out and come back in. I don't know, maybe my system, but yeah. Okay. Okay. It says, fight a good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Okay. Can you guys see me? Am I in at all?
No, you don't see.
Okay, I'm gonna use my small thing here. My phone, because obviously something's wrong. Bear with me for 1 second, please.
Can you, whilst you are using the phone, can you restart the computer and then log back on again?
Okay, restart the computer. I want to do that, but I don't want to take any time away from me. I think the power cut kind of. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right, thank you, Holy Spirit. Okay, beautiful. Now, so the Bible says that, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's go back to the scripture again. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, let me just share something with you quickly. You see? No, but it's verse 6. I'm on 6. I'm back to 6. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, listen to something. Righteousness is a gift from God. But godliness, which is constantly choosing the way of the one who we call the Lord. That's what it means. Godliness is constantly choosing the way of the Father, the way of the Son. Does that make sense? That is godliness. So God makes you godly, but godliness, it is something that is an exercise of our will. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Please pay attention very, yes. Very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
Godliness, or God is the one who makes us godly. But godliness, or the art or the practice of always choosing God and what he's wanting to bring forth, choosing God's way. You know, like sometimes when yourself really wants to come, because what is being played out before you is injustice. Mm-hmm. Yourself really wants to come. Mm-hmm. But you hear the Holy Spirit nagging and tagging, mm-hmm. tagging. Don't mm-hmm. keep quiet. Don't talk.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do this. That's mm-hmm. godliness. But mm-hmm. but it is an exercise of our will, because it's not all the time that we do what the Holy Spirit is saying. No. Go and confess. Go and tell him, no. If I go and tell him this, then he will become too proud. It's because we have to exercise our will for godliness to come forth. Because God has made us godly, righteous, born mm-hmm. again, a new creature, a partaker of his nature. But the practice thereof, or the act of letting that come forth, it is something that is by the exercise of our will. And so, like, God makes us righteous, but fellowship, communion with him and letting his way, choosing his way. Father, what do you think about this issue? So what should I do? Should I not respond in this matter? Should I don't have a right in this matter? You are asking who? The Father. And he said, no, son, I'll take care of it. Vengeance is mine.
Mm.
You only have to love the person. Oh, no man, nothing except to love, because that which is being brought against you is not the person, it's the mm-hmm. enemy who is wanting to steal the treasure which I have prepared for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using a vessel like the enemy used Peter.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy used Peter. The enemy mm-hmm. used Peter to prevent the bringing to pass that which has been foreordained that the Christ must die.
Yeah.
Peter says that no. If you die, all the miracles of provision and multiplication will cease. I need it. And me, I'm a family man. I need it. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So righteousness is a gift, but fellowship is what we must maintain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but the good thing about it is that he doesn't only provide the gift of righteousness, but he also supplies the grace to choose to be godly. Does that make sense?
Wow.
What is a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, that's why Paul wrote and said that I don't frustrate the grace of God. First of all, he says that anyone who receives the gift of righteousness and it's automatic.
Mm.
And the abundance of grace. So God makes you righteous. You are born again. You are born the Spirit of God. You are a new creature in Christ. You are called the Son. A child, a daughter of God. Mm-hmm. How did that happen? God who brought it into pass. Mm-hmm. And didn't even consult us. He didn't require anything from us. He says it's a gift. All you do is receive it. Now that you have received it, he says, I know what you have received is so powerful, but to walk in this new life, I am supplying my grace.
Mm-hmm.
So you receive the gift of righteousness. Now you must receive the grace. Now, very often we frustrate the grace, we prevent the grace because it doesn't seem so powerful.
Mm.
But when we let it on the scene, then power manifests. But we are wanting the power to display first. No, it doesn't work like that. Because he must be allowed in. And so say that it's only those who receive the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. Why? They are both supplied. That's why you can receive them both. They are the ones who can reign in life through Christ Jesus. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And so we must endeavor not to frustrate the grace of God. Because the grace of God, when it's coming, what it brings to your mind does not make sense. I must tell you that. It doesn't work with your feelings at all. Because your feelings say that, no, you must prove your worth. You must show that you are not a fool. You must speak your mind and become free. That's what your feelings are saying. That's what makes sense. And grace is wanting to come in and say, am I allowed to come in? Can I come in? Can I take over? I want to come in. I want to help. I'm here. I'm present. I've not left you. I'm here, presently abundant. But what he's suggesting and wanting to bring forth is nothing like what you think makes sense. Does that make sense? Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, let's go on. Now, he says, we brought nothing to this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. So it says that, therefore, having food and raiment, we should be content. Now, then it continues, we read, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. Notice I've not talked about the great gain yet, because I'm going to talk about it in a moment. I first of all want us to talk about the godliness first. And then we'll proceed. Oh, guys, are you enjoying what we've got so far?
Yes.
Now, it says, they that will be rich, they fall into temptation and a snare. It's automatic. If you desire to be rich, or if you are going to be rich, or if you will become rich, or when you become rich, you automatically fall into temptation. You fall into it. And you fall into a snare. And into many, that means that there is a trap set before you because you are rich. A strong temptation and delusion comes against you just because you are rich. It is coming. Remember when the Lord appeared unto Cain and he said that evil is at your door, sin is at your door, and you must master it. Do you guys remember? Before Cain killed Abel, the Lord appeared unto him and told him that because they had offered their brother's sacrifice, Abel's was received, Cain's wasn't. Cain became mad. He became so mad. The Lord comes, he said,
countenance falling.
Countenance falling. Why is your countenance falling? If you do right, you shall be happy.
Mm-hmm.
If you do well, you shall be happy. But sin is at your door. Sin is at your door. And its desire is for you. And you must master it. When you become rich, sin in the form of temptation and the snare also comes to your door. And the snare or the temptation, you are now going to be bombarded with foolish and hateful lusts just because you are rich. It's at your door. Its desire is for you because you are rich. Its desire is to drown you. It's to take you down in destruction and perdition. But you must master it. Are you with me? Yeah. My goodness. But you must master it. You must master it. God is not against those who are rich or being rich. No. As a matter of fact, he giveth all things richly for our enjoyment. He gives us all things richly to enjoy. He doesn't withhold from us. Does that make sense? But there's a caution that you fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish. That if you were not rich, you wouldn't have fallen into such a foolish and hateful lust. But now that you are, it's at your door. The temptation and the snare and it's seeking to drown you and to take you down to destruction and perdition. Look at the next verse. Now, then it says, for the love of money. Is the root of all evil. The love of money, the love for money is the root of all evil. And this is, I want to just stay here for a moment before, so that you can understand what it means to be content or contentment. What does that mean? And I believe you will be blessed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the love of or the love for money is the root of all evil. The Bible says so. Now, look at it. If we say, this is the root of an apple, what is the tree called?
Apple tree.
Can I give my give me my people, please? Yeah. If we say this is the root of an orange, what is the tree called?
Orange tree.
Very good. So if the Holy Spirit says that the root of all evil is the love for money, what is that tree called?
Love of money tree.
Exactly. Or evil tree. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The root of evil. The root of evil is the love for money. So he's saying that this root, mm-hmm, it belongs to the tree called evil.
Mm.
This root, it belongs to the tree called evil. That tree, like every other tree, has branches.
Mm.
And hanging on the branches are many, many, many fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, though. Hanging on the branches of this tree called evil are many, 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 many fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. As we begin to see, God makes us godly. Mm-hmm. As we begin to live this godly life called godliness, the enemy sends a barrage of enticements and vain pursuits, which are plagued. Listen to me. They are plagued from the tree whose root is called a love for money. Let me say it again. Remember, the tree is called evil tree. It has a root. That root, it's called the love for money. Does that make sense? Being a tree, the love for money, it supplies this tree. The tree produces branches. The branches has fruits. So you find out that there are so many fruits hanging upon the branches. Now, so when he comes, he will not tell you that this is the love for money. No, he will not tell you that. You don't see it. Why? He has many fruits hanging. Many fruits. That's why it's called evil. It's only an evil tree that when it's bearing fruit, you can't even look at the fruit and say that this comes from an evil tree. It's only an evil tree, because every tree shall bear fruit after its kind. True or false?
True.
When you look at the fruit, you will know that this is it. The problem with this tree, whose root is called the love for money, when the fruits are coming, when you will not even see that it is because of my love for money. You don't even see it. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The reason why you become angry about this thing, the reason why you are so messed up and so perplexed and so fear is gripping you, and now you throw all caution aside, is because it is the love for money, but you cannot even see it. And if anybody tells you that, listen, it is your love for money and influence and power and respect, that you say, no. You don't understand. Yes, you cannot get it. Now, notice how it began. The sentence, it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. I mean, how can a love for money be the root of all evil? I mean, when somebody murders you, if you trace it down, it's because the love for money. But how can you connect the two? Eric, are you understanding what I'm saying? How can you connect it? Why is this person telling on you a lie? He's throwing you under the bus. The love for money. You say, no. It's because I love money. No. Because I, this is, no. It is the love for money. Now, listen to me. Truth. Truth must be revealed to you. So now, please, we are going somewhere, and I need you to pay utmost attention. So the enemy sends you a lot of suggestions. You will not link it to the source. You can't, because it's not obvious at all, unless Holy Spirit reveals it to you. You will not be able to do it. Now, Now, what is contentment? Remember, we are talking about the love for money. And because he mentioned that godliness with contentment is great gain, right? Godliness, please, are you unmute yourself? If I see you are muted, I don't know why all of you are muted. Yeah,
when
there's
I
no
unmuted, it's cut off, it gives echo in yours.
Oh, okay.
That's why, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So if there's no noise in the background, please don't. Anyway, so it says godliness is a gain. It surely is a gain. But with contentment, it's great gain. Now, contentment is a state or a condition of showing satisfaction with one's possessions, one's status, or one's situation. Now, I took this definition from the Webster's Dictionary. It says contentment is a state or condition of showing satisfaction with one's possessions, one's status, or one's situation. And it's saying that it's a very powerful ingredient. Now, this is the ingredient. The Bible is saying it's a very, very, it brings such great gain. What is it? It is able to shut off and silence the enticements and the encroachments, the foolish pursuits, the lustful desires that the enemy is going to use to steal our peace. Please follow me. Godliness itself is a gain. But until you add contentment to it, you don't enter into this great gain. Why? I'm going to explain it to you. You're going to see it in just a moment. Remember, we just mentioned contentment. And we are saying that it is the key, the ingredient that it's able to prevent or silence or snuff out the enemy's ability to use various encroachments and enticements and desires. When he's coming, it's for one thing. It is to steal what is called peace from you. And you're going to see it in just a moment. It is to steal that peace from you. And this is what I believe I got when I got here. It says, the Holy Spirit just gave me this example. It says, when you get a cut, are you listening?
Yes.
When you get a cut or an injury, it is the presence of blood clotting ingredients or factors that prevents the cut from killing you. Because if those clotting factors are absent in the blood, you have the blood, but does it have the clotting factors? If it doesn't, you will find out that you have the blood. The blood is enough. The blood is all you need. You don't have less blood. You have fullness of blood. But the cut you have received is now you're going to bleed. You're going to bleed and your life will pass away before you. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, so one may die from a cut. Another lives as if nothing happened. But it was the same cut. And it is not the shortage or deficiency in the blood quantity, but it is the absence of the clotting factor. It is the absence of the clotting factor. So what the Holy Spirit was showing to me was that this is what peace does to us. And I'm going to read a scripture. Look at Philippians 4. Look at Philippians 4. Please pay attention. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Look at Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6. Please show it to us, Chris. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Please don't forget the analogy of the blood clotting thing. So two people, they both have blood, all they need to live, they have it. One gets a cut, he bleeds until he dies. Another gets the same cut. It's not a big deal. Life goes on. He progresses onto fulfilling his destiny. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, pay attention. It says that be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Nothing. Don't let anything irritate you and bring you to the place where now you become so frustrated that you are being burned. You are being burned. You are about to wither. You are about to wither because the thing that has been done against you, or the thing, the injury that you have suffered, whatever it is, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So you present that, you pray, you present a particular issue, that pertinent issue unto the Father, and then you begin to give thanks. Why? Because he has heard you, and he who hears shall never disappoint. So you begin to give thanks. What happens next? Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God. Now pay attention here. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Now, what does that mean? The peace of God, which does not make sense. Meaning that if all the people at the office have ganged up against you, you will find out that after you prayed, after you submitted supplication, and after you began to give thanks and began to rejoice that you have, God has heard your prayer, and he who is faithful is bringing deliverance your way. How? You don't need to know, but he has heard you. And because you are a daughter and you are a son, he will do it. Why? Because it says that the righteous shall prosper in the land. They shall be rewarded. So now, you begin to have peace. Not because the people have now begun to accept you. Nope. Not because you have been exonerated. No. That's what it means, that it passes all understanding. Nothing has changed. The loss is still there. You lost a loved one, whatever it is. He has not come back. But now, you have peace. What does that mean? It doesn't make sense. It passes understanding. Because what brought the torment has not lifted. The situation is still there. It's still dire. It's still threatening. So why do you have peace now? Why are you rejoicing in the midst of this such a calamity? Oh, have peace. It doesn't make sense. Don't you have to do something about this issue? Oh, no. Why? Are you guys understand something?
Yes.
It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. It shall guard, it shall mount a garrison. Can you give it to me in the Amplified version? Give it to me in the Amplified version. Once you see this, you begin to see the missing ingredient. Give it to me in the Amplified version. And God's peace shall be yours. The tranquil state of a soul assured. It's assured of his salvation. Not that I have seen a salvation. I have seen what God is going to do. I have seen what God is going to, how God is going to work it out. No. You think about Daniel when he was being thrown in there. Do you think he knew how God was going to deliver him? Think about the three guys, the three Hebrew boys. What did they say? We will not bow. We will not bow. We will not eat. We will not do this thing. We will not do it. And therefore, if this is what you must do, please go ahead. Because God will deliver. And even if, because it's not like I know how God will, because they're not sure, they could die. Are you with me? And even if our God, the God of Abraham does not deliver us, we will still not bow to what you are demanding. Oh, guys, are you with me?
Yes.
So it says that tranquil state of a soul assured of his salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace, which transcends, that's what I want you to see. It transcends all understanding. What shall it do? It shall garrison and mount guard. Garrison is like a battalion that forms a kind of a fortress around your habitation so that no enemy is able to break through. So that peace, it shall garrison and mount guard over what? Over what? Over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, notice something here. Notice something here. A peace. It doesn't make sense. It has come. Situation has not changed. Nothing has changed. There is no indication of a breakthrough. But you have this peace. And it has mounted guard over your heart and your mind. In Christ Jesus, this is the peace that the devil must take away, because so long as this peace is there, so long as this peace is there, but this peace, it comes from a contentment that you know he delivers. You know he comes through. You know, even if it is the last minute, he comes through. That contentment. So you would notice that it is not the quantity of the blood that a person has. So it is not the quantity of the treasure, whatever it is. It is not the abundance of anything. It's not it. Because if you say that, oh, the person doesn't have enough blood, so I'm going to supply blood, but the clotting factors are absent. Can I give the people? Can I give my people? Yeah. So he's saying, because see, you might say that, oh, the person is losing blood. He must get blood. He must get more blood. This is the way to cause him to survive. You provide the blood, but the thing that causes the passing away, the dripping, the bleeding, it's not there. It's not there. It's not there. So you say, oh, he needs money. He needs this. He needs this. He needs this. He needs, if he gets it, to be okay. No. It's not it. Why? Because no matter how much you pump into me, it's flowing out. That is why you want to have, even let's say, you just want a million. Can you imagine what $1 million would do for you? A lot. True or false? Give me a wave. How many of you have plans that you know what you can do with $1 million? Do you know that many people have 50 times that amount? What they don't have is the thing that guards their heart and their mind. It's called the peace. It comes only from God. It doesn't make sense. It's a clotting factor. You have the blood, but when you don't have the clotting factor. So you have become righteous. God has made you godly. You are doing your best to be godly, but you have not learned this art of contentment, where now he is not only the Lord, but he's now the faithful one in whom you trust. You don't trust in the things that are present. You don't trust in how things have played out. No, you trust in him. Then he became content. She began to rest. It's like, why not fight him back? Oh, no. The one unto whom vengeance belongs. I know him. So I'm not gonna show you anything or prove anything to you. I'm just gonna love you. That's all I owe you, to love you. It's like, what? You're a fool. No, you don't understand. Because I need this peace. I need this peace. It's so important to me that I have become content, that If I need food, it will come. If the bill, you know, somebody was telling me a story. And it's a very common thing. The rent had to be paid. The person is, can you believe that a person who is overseas, they are wondering how the rent to be paid. Somebody calls from Ghana and said that I am sending you this X amount of money to my uncle, and my uncle will send it to you. It's like, what? Because the deadline was one day, the rent will be overdue. Does that make sense? Yeah. And the help is coming from somebody. The person almost didn't take it. He said, no. The person said, no, you must take this amount of money. You must take it. He said, no, but you need the money more. He said, no, you must take it. What is happening here? Now, what does God do these stuff? He's teaching you how to rest. How to become content, no matter your lot, so that your confidence and your trust will no longer be in, oh, if I get more money, if I had money, oh God, why this? Oh, when will you stop asking those questions? When will you stop asking those questions? When? Job did the same thing until he realized, because God showed up. When I did this, what were you? Did this, he showed him all. And the people who came to say that what is happening to him is because of this and that and that and that, they were all silenced. They were all silenced. Because they didn't know that the devil had gone to the Lord and engaged the Lord in an argument over Job's life as to why he was so faithful. Are you with me? Nobody knew. No, nobody knew that. And God was comfortable to put Job to the test. He said, no, I have nobody like him. Job, whatever. Just don't touch his life, though. See, so there's a limit to what the enemy can do against you. I get what I'm trying to say. Now, this is so that you begin to learn contentment. The Apostle Paul, he said, I have learned to be content. With little and with much. I know how to abase. I know how to abound. No, they don't communicate to me. Does God love me? Is God with me? Is God going to prosper me? Is he going to be okay with me? No. I've gone beyond that. I've learned what is called contentment. Why? Because godliness with contentment is the great gain. If the gain is here, it catapults. A catapult, and then you begin to see how quickly things change. Why? Because whatever the enemy puts on your plate doesn't work. And now your deliverance and salvation is causing many, many other people to be delivered and to be saved. This is the whole intention. This is the whole intention about what God is wanting to bring forth. That is why when we became born again, we didn't get taken away from earth immediately. That's the reason. That's the reason. So we're gonna read a scripture. Look at some. You know, before we read a scripture, maybe look at some one. Or you know what? Before we read a scripture, let me just show you something that you must. How many of you have gotten the drift? Yeah. I'm going to show you a scripture. Let's do the scripture. These are some of the how do I get this great gain? By adding contentment to we're going to read a scripture from, look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. from verse 26 to 27. I tell you, we must, I pray that the Lord helps us to see that truly there's nothing that he would want to withhold from us. But we must be ready to handle it, because the moment the abundance and the authority and the multiplication happens, you immediately fall into. It doesn't mean that you are brought down. No. But you're exposed. You come. Sin becomes, and it comes. The temptation, the snare comes at your door. And he said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is there a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Look at the next verse. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. Do you think the prophet didn't know the use of, let's go back to verse 26 and list the things. Do you think that the prophet did not know the use of garments, olive yards, vineyards, sheep, oxen, men servants, maid servants? Do you think the prophet didn't have recognition of the value of these things? But what he was saying, it's not the time. It's not the time to receive such things. It's not the time to receive such things. It's not the time. Hey! Wow! Wow! What do you guys think? Please give my people, please. So the spirit of covetousness was already operating and working upon Gehazi. Are you with me? And so you will lay hold of that which you shouldn't lay hold of. You will touch that which you shouldn't touch. God says, you receive this. Let this amount of, let this go. He said, no. I have this for this. I have this for that. I have this for God. It took you a long time for you to come through. And now that I've come through, you say, I should do this and that. Oh, no. This is not the voice of God. This is the voice of the devil. Would you think the devil will ever tell you to give out anything? Please pay attention. Please pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Because the Holy Spirit must communicate to you what is the basis of what is working. It may not come across as that, but only him can reveal it to you. So the prophet, because something powerful has happened to Naaman. Naaman is wanting to honor the prophet. The prophet said, no. The guy goes, his assistant, or his protege, it's pursuing him, and he goes and he collects the things. And he says, did not my spirit go with you as you were pursuing the man to collect all those things? Did not my spirit go with you? My God. Because it was not the time to receive anything from that man. Wow. Wow. Let's read another scripture. Look at Luke 12, verse 1. Are you guys with me? Yeah. Look at Luke 12, verse 1. It says, Luke 12, verse 1. In the meantime, when they were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, in so much that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. What was that? It says it is hypocrisy. So they do all this, they perform, they stand on the ways to pray, to to let the people know and see how godly they were and how righteous they were and how much they love God and they were living for God. But it was hypocrisy. Why? Their mouth was unto God. Their heart was unto themselves. So when they saw that the people have left them and they were pursuing after Jesus, the Bible said that they crucified him because of envy. They couldn't rejoice when people were healed. They couldn't celebrate when people were delivered of their torment. They couldn't see any good in that. No. They couldn't. Why? So we should not receive the living of hypocrisy or covetousness. That's what it is. That's something God is bringing deliverance to his people. A person born crippled. You couldn't do anything. Another man has come on the scene. A miracle has happened. Go and find out. Hey, you know, the authority you are walking in, you've never seen that before. That's what Nicodemus did. That's what Nicodemus did. That is what Nicodemus did. Can you give me the people back, please? Nicodemus knew that the people were jealous of Jesus. And he knew being the top of the tops in the rabbinical movement, he had to go there at night. Because he knew that if the people found out he's going to consult with this man, hey, they will extra. So he had to go there at night. But his heart was for truth. His heart. And God knew it. And when he came, he was not disappointed. Jesus gave him truth. The truth which is now blessing all of us, except a man be born again. Why did he say it? Why did he share such wonderful truth with Nicodemus? Because he was looking for truth. He was not operating by envy. The other Pharisees, all of them, the scribes, all of them, hypocritical behavior. And this thing can easily come. It is operating in our midst, even among ministers. One cannot stand it when another person rises in, you know, as it were, for popularity or fame or whatever. True or false, Eric? Yeah. God says, listen, you are a part of my body. I will do with you what I have purposed. You'll be this or you'll be that. You'll be this or you'll be this. Nobody gets the glory. I am the only one who can carry the glory and the authority. I manifest it through you. Can you be content? If there is any need, I will supply. I mean, tell the people, go. I will give you the land. It flows with milk and honey. But there are giants there. I didn't tell them how he's going to remove them. He says, let's go. I tell you, you have to trust him to work with him. And this is the contentment that we're talking about. Wow. Now look at the last scripture. Wow. Listen. Well, as a matter of fact, maybe we should just do this. We're gonna read just two scriptures and then we go. Look at 1 Timothy again. I think we can read the verse 10, where it says, "Oh, man of God, flee those things and follow after righteousness." Uh-huh. Because these are the fruits. You are either going to operate from the tree. You're either going to operate from the tree called evil, whose root is called the love of money. When it produces the fruit, I tell you, you can't even connect the fruit with the root. It's called evil. But when you see the fruit, you can't even see that this is what is leading me and drawing me into this thing, into this foolish pursuit. Go to verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Follow after righteousness. Follow after righteousness. Follow after godliness. It doesn't come across as being glorious. As a matter of fact, your flesh and your reasoning doesn't allow you. That's why it's a fight. That's why the next verse, it says that fight the good fight of faith. But don't go there yet. It says that follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Wow. The next verse says that fight the good fight of faith. Why is it a fight? Because it doesn't work with your reasoning. It's irrational. It makes you so vulnerable. You come across as a fool. You come across as somebody who's so weak and stupid and foolish. That's why it's a fight. Because every rational person will do this. But the moment you choose godliness and you act with the contentment, you'll find that you will come across as being so stupid. But it says that's the fight. The world goes this way. It says that you go that way. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many, many witnesses. Let's read the last scripture, then we close. Look at Psalm 1 from verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He's blessed. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Look at verse 2 quickly. Then it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Does it make sense? That law, does it make sense? No. Give shall be given to you. Forgive, otherwise you not be forgiven. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who despitefully use you. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Next verse. This is very essential. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted. The one who is godly, the one who is learning what it means to have contentment. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's planted. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It bringeth forth his fruit in his season. So if the season is there, it cannot fail. And it says that his leaf also shall not wither. So seasons upon seasons, his leaf is not withering. And whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Look at verse 4. So these are the benefits. It says the ungodly are not so. They're not so. The ungodly are not so. No. They will do that which any normal, natural thinking, reasoning, educated person would do. But they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Next verse. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Why? Because everybody's home, everybody's house is gonna receive the visitation of storms, vehement. The ungodly shall not stand in that day, that hour, that judgment. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The last verse, verse 6. It says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall do what? Yes, the way of the ungodly shall perish. How many of you have seen the godliness and the contentment? Give my people, please. How many of you can see it? Yeah, it's for your benefit. It is to your benefit. It is to your benefit. Otherwise, the enemy has a lot because he has a tree. Yes, he has a tree. On the tree has branches, and at the end of the branches are fruits. And he uses those fruits to entice us, to bring anxiety, fear, discontentment, and every kind of thing. And it is such a force and a power that it drowns many, and they pierce their souls with many sorrows. It's not because they're not righteous. No. God made us all righteous, but contentment is not there. Contentment is not there. Therefore, the great gain is missing. Look at one last scripture, Acts chapter 24, verse 16. Acts 24, verse 16. I pray that you can memorize the scripture. Acts 24, verse 16. I pray that you can memorize the scripture. Acts 24, verse 16. Chris, Acts 24, verse 16. It says, "And herein do I exercise myself. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God." God, are you with me? You love me? God, no, I don't have any offense. No matter what is happening, I don't have. Job, the wife came and told him, Abba, enough should be enough. Wouldn't you just now curse this, your so-called God, so that we can become free a little bit? We need a breather. Say, thou speaketh like one of those foolish women. Say, no matter what is happening, an offense towards God, no way. I'm not going to leave my faith. No matter what is happening, I'm not going to leave it. That's what it means. You don't have any offense towards God. And then, no offense toward men. Why? Because God does not have offense towards them. And he's the one who judges righteously. That's why Jesus laid an example for us. Jesus laid an example. Even though he was reviled, he reviled not. When they verbally abused him, he did not say, "You wait, you see, till I get my kingdom, you see my power." No. But he committed himself unto he who judges righteously. So long as we are in the flesh, we don't have the ability to judge righteously. Because we don't know, where did it begin? Who is causing it? Who is causing this? Like Job, how could Job know that the devil has paid a visit to God? How would Job know? It wasn't revealed to him. Because if he knew that, he wouldn't have even bat an eyelid. He didn't know that all these things that are happening to me in the loss of my children, this and this and this and this, was just because of an argument that, a conversation that happened between God and the devil. Look at what's happening to me now. He didn't know that. But he still couldn't have any offense towards God. Neither did he harbor any offense towards the men who came and explained it away by saying that he is to be blamed. Are you with me? And herein, can we all read it together? "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. Okay. We have come to the end of this message, attempting to have great. How many of you are blessed by God's word today? Wow. I'm blessed. I tell you, I'm blessed. Well, we thank God. We give God a praise. We give God a... And say with me, Father. You have made me righteous. You have made me godly. I would choose the way of godliness. By allowing the abundance of grace to work for me. And now, by this grace, I will learn to be content. I will learn to exercise myself in contentment. That I will lay hold of this great gain. of this great game.
Of this great day.
And accomplish the things.
Accomplish the things.
Set before me.
Set before me.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
Thank you, my Master and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, my Master, Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's all choose it. Let's all choose it. Let's all learn it. Let's exercise ourselves into it. Let's exercise ourselves. Oh, my Father knows all things, and he will bring all things to pass. Well, we give God the glory. Yeah. And if there's anybody listening who is not born again, I implore you to receive the King, the one who has made you godly, the one who has made you righteous, who has given it to you as a gift, that if you receive it, you automatically step into it. And his grace will now cause you to walk in the thing that no human being can bring to pass except himself. So say with me, Father. Everybody say with me, Father.
Father.
I thank you for giving me your son. Sending me your son. Taking me from the sentence of damnation. The curse.
The
judgment. The death, and translating me into the kingdom of light and making me a child of God. I receive the gift of being made a child of God. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, wonderful, wonderful. Let's take our communion, please. Let's take our communion. Reach out for your body. You know, I pray that one of these days we will be able to enter into a proper understanding of this thing that we take. It's a major thing. The Bible says that let a man so examine himself. Let a man so examine himself. Now, unfortunately, there is so much confusion in that statement. Let a man so examine himself. And then he gives the reason and what the examination is all about. The examination, you examine yourself to discern the body. You examine yourself to discern the body and the blood. You examine yourself to see, do I have recognition and respect and revelation of what this body is? Whose body it is? What the breaking thereof has brought forth? Do I have that recognition? It is not to examine yourself to see if there is no sin. No, it is the person who has committed the sin who needs it. It's the person who is struggling with a sin who needs it. It's the person who is wallowing in sin who needs it. Because the body of Jesus that was broken, it was not broken for himself. It was broken to bring deliverance and salvation and healing and health. So it's to examine yourself. Do you have respect? Or are you eating it as a common food? Are you eating it as just some common bread and some common juice? No. Do you know what it stands for? So if you ever leave this place and you enter into guilt that, I'm not like one of those who are called to, right away, you did not discern the body. If you go around and begin to talk about how you were raped and how you have this problem and why you're suffering from this sickness. You're always talking about those things. You're always looking at what is wrong with you. You have not discerned the body. You have not. It says that for this cause, many are sickly. Why? They did not discern what the breaking of the body has brought forth, the benefit. For his body was broken for what? He was wounded for what? He was bruised for what? The punishment that was necessary for your peace. How did it come about? does it come by examining yourself to see if you're qualified? No, because it is the sacrifice that has to be examined to see if it qualifies, and to see if God will accept the sacrifice. And yes, it's the sacrifice. It's just been accepted. Now you hold in your body the most acceptable broken body, the lamb that was slain. It has brought great benefits. Now lift up the body and begin to see yourself. As you eat this body, you are eating unto yourself healing, healing, healing. Every prize for peace to come upon you, it's coming because of the broken body. He said, as often as you eat it, do it in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me, do it as often as you do it. And as you eat it, you are proclaiming that it is Jesus who died. It is Jesus who paid the price. It is Jesus who was wounded. It is Jesus who received the curse. It is Jesus who received every penalty that is due me. So no penalty now is due to me. There is no past. There is no history. There is no sin. There's no accusation. There's no criticism. No. Why? It is Christ who died. You do show the Lord's death until he comes back. Lift up the body with me and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ. As I eat it, I eat healing to my body. I partake of the soundness of mind that belongs to sons and daughters. Preservation belongs to me. Deliverance is mine. Because the body of Jesus was broken. Please eat the body of Jesus Christ.
Eat it. Hmm. You are in your
body. Now, we are beginning to discern the blood. We are beginning to discern the blood. That it is the blood that washed, that keeps washing. It is because of the blood that when you speak a promise, the Holy Spirit's response is because of the blood. For the spirits and the blood and the word, they agree together as one on earth. Why would the Father hear my prayer of a promise? It's because I come by his word and by his blood. And the Holy Spirit has no other cause but to bring it to pass. The blood that brought me into the covenant, the blood that brought me into every benefit of sons and daughters, the blood that bringeth every blessing, the blood that causes the angelic host to respond, the blood that seals all things, the blood that makes me whole, the blood. Ah, we drink the blood of Jesus today. And we drink unto ourselves well-being, soundness of mind, peace, joy, and every blessing in the heavenly places. Now lift up the blood and say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ.
Blood of Jesus Christ.
Please drink the blood. Wow. I really feel the urge to expound a bit on that communion because I was getting the promptings last night that we need to understand it and we need to have respect for it and stop talking about what is wrong with us and this and this and this and this and this. But we should examine, do we know what it stands for and do we respect it? Because if you don't, there's many drink unto themselves damnation. Therefore, many are sickly. And many sleep or die. Why? Because they don't discern the body. They don't discern the blood. They drink it unto themselves and they go off living anyhow. They go off living anyhow. Now, when you go off, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you. But respond. Respond. Because he's the one who convicts you of your sin. All you do is confess. And the moment you confess it, it's as if it never happened. And then you live like a child, like a daughter. But you cannot be convicted and then you slack it off. You just slough it off and say, everybody's doing it. I mean, I'm tired. No, no, don't do that. Because if you do that, you'll become sickly. You'll become weak. You can die. Don't continue perpetually just rebuff the Holy Spirit's conviction because you are a child, you're a daughter, you are a son. So he will convict you. That's his work. And when he convicts you, just if he hasn't convicted you, there's nothing to confess. But when he convicts you, it's me. How do you confess? That's it. Yeah, it's me. This is me. Oh Lord, this is me. Ah, this is me. You are a son, you are a daughter. What son who does not receive discipline? Then you're a bastard. What's wrong with you? He knows it. But he's going to correct them one by one until you enter into maturity. Well, we thank God for a powerful time. How many of you are blessed by God's word today? Wonderful. Well,